Thank you so much for joining me today on Just Praise Him Radio. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax, and my job is to inspire you to a closer walk with Christ. Now here's the show. Hello, believers. Welcome to the Just Praise Him Radio Show. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax, and we're doing episode 2 of Weird Warfare, When a Wolf is Among You. And we're going to get into some really interesting stuff. Part 1, if you haven't heard it, is a lot of really good practical application information. If you have think you have a wolf or have a wolf in your church, you should listen to that or in your group. So I have with me today Nicole, who y'all know is my very best friend in all the world, and who is a worship leader and warrior extraordinaire. And also we have Colin, who is the kids' church leader at Nicole's church and is also on the worship team, who is a really, really serious warrior. Okay, so Nicole is writing a book on spiritual warfare that is going to be, I think, unlike anything that's on the market. Nicole, tell the people a little bit about your book and your blog.
Well, when Glenn and I first were introduced, I was told by God to start learning spiritual warfare, that I was going to do it. And I had mentioned that on a podcast that we've done before, that I had no clue what spiritual warfare was. And so God started bringing me to certain people to listen to. He's very specific about who, but Glenda was one of them. And so I write her this email saying, okay, this is what I'm going to do. And in my mind, I'm thinking I'm going to tell her that I'm dealing with an unsafe spouse, and she knows all of this, and she's going to give me the answer, and he's going to get delivered. And that's how I thought that was going to play out. So I send an email, and I'm waiting on pins and needles, and she responds, and I read the email, and she says, God's telling me that you are called to do spiritual warfare. And I'm like, what? I thought you were going to give me the answer to this.
That is so funny.
I mean, I just thought for sure that this was my answer. I was going to be done. And I don't know how many years ago this was.
several years ago. Several, 3 or 4, I don't remember.
So this battle has been intense for my husband's salvation and for what we've been dealing with here. So that is why I haven't been blogging as much. I've just been barely hanging on.
And just on by a fingernail, and then a wolf shows up in church. Y'all see this?
So I am working on the book, and the book is about how to war for an unsafe spouse, which, again, if God had told me I was going to write a book, I would have, not listened, because I didn't. But he had told me that through you. And I remember thinking, yeah, I don't think so. And then, but see, what I do, I don't pray out loud. I only pray out loud if I'm doing warfare against demons, because number one, they cannot read your thoughts.
That's right.
Okay. They can put them in there. And if you take them, they know you take them, They can't read your thoughts. So I usually pray mentally. And so I didn't tell anybody about the book thing, because first of all, I didn't believe it. And then,
I've been there.
Yeah, about a month ago, about a month after she told me that, a friend of mine at church called me and said, Nicole, did God tell you we're going to write a book? I'm like, well, I guess so.
I would have loved to have seen your face when that happened.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. Because, God often calls the people to do things that don't like doing things like that. And that would be me. I would be very happy to actually have a real veil put up to where I could sing behind it. Nobody could see me. And I just don't like attention. I just don't like that.
That's you want to do the work. You just are not interested in the glory.
Yeah. I just don't want to be seen. I'd rather be seen, not seen. I don't know. That's just the way I am. So, so not only will the book be about the process of spiritual warfare for an unsaved family member, but it will be a manual on certain demonic forces that I learned about, things that I don't think many people have ever heard of. And the chapter that we just walked through is called The Weird Warfare, and that this will be going, the detailedness of the story will be going in there too. because I'm currently living out the book.
Yeah.
Okay. Colin.
Yes, ma'am.
What are some of the things that you did as the warfare began to ramp up? What are some of the things that you did or y'all did that helped?
Okay, keep in mind too, I never learned about spiritual warfare before.
Oh, this was your first time. I forgot about that.
Yeah, this is my first time. I had never really did much in spiritual warfare. Had really no clue about the whole binding and praying against things. I knew we had the power to cast them out, just never knew there was so much more into it. And so my first thing was a huge reliance on God. And Miss Nicole being basically a spiritual mom, definitely still to help raise up and to teach. And it was just like amazing how he put us together, because he used to be scared to death of her before.
That's this so all funny. Started. She's such a sweet, gentle person. That is hilarious.
Well, in my mind, I had looked at her kind of just like, oh, Lord, that's the pastor's daughter, you know, gotta make sure that we make sure we're presentable and be nice. I never really joined the worship team before. I did a little bit of their sound work for them, which was always nervous to death to mess that up because that was hers. But, you know, God raised us up together and built a relationship. But the key thing, especially in learning, is your praying and your fasting. Make sure that your alliance is there on God, and make sure that you are ready to receive what he's going to tell you. Because if you're praying and you're not listening, especially for new believers, you're not doing anything. You have to make sure the same amount of praying you're doing, you're spending listening. And focus yourself on topics, what you want to pray for, what you need your answer in at the time. And the rest of the time, I spend my time praying in tongues, in my mind, in my spirit, and just was ready for God just to speak to me and show me what was the next step or whatever we were praying for at the time, waiting for the answers. And what was really cool was that I would get an answer, Ms. Nicole would get an answer, and Ms. Glenda would all get the same answer, just a little bit different. We would all see it a little bit different. It was perfect. Everything was matched. Yeah. We were always on the same accord because we were all aligned with God in the same way.
That's true.
Which is really, really key.
Okay. So, go ahead, Nicole.
The first we had up until this point had been dealing with the physical attacks, not knowing where they were coming from. Okay. So, but now we know where they're coming from. So we were first fighting just the demon. Okay.
Yeah.
And I'd recently heard speak saying, you know, we have all authority. So when you cast a demon out, it has to go right away. That's not necessarily true. And if you've ever done spiritual warfare, you'll understand that they don't listen. They don't play by the rules. Yep. Like God said, since when do they play by the rules? They don't.
Yeah.
And so if there's any little door open or there's any legality that you haven't taken out when you're doing deliverance on someone else, sometimes they fight. Yes, eventually they will. If the sin's repented for, they will leave. But it's not as simple as, I command you to leave and poof, it's gone. Sometimes it's a fight, okay? So we were fighting demons, we're binding them up in church, and we expected them to leave right away. We expected the person to leave right away. But what was new about this experience is that we were not just fighting a demon, we were fighting a person's will. And not even God can override their will. So we had to learn how to pray so that God's will was done in the situation, still giving the person time to repent, because that's the way God works, because he loves them as much as us. It doesn't matter what they're doing. But we had to follow his leading for this to happen and learn what it was we're supposed to learn. So we had formulated a prayer against Jezebel, a prayer against Leviathan. We knew we were dealing with that. And I circulated that out to a few people. There was no one's name on there because it was just the demons we were fighting. So I had, at this point, five or six people in the church that knew something was wrong, didn't know who it was. We were not releasing information. We still have not. Mm-hmm. At, at this point, the people do not know what happened in the church, yeah, because I don't think most of them would even believe it. It was so crazy. But
and I'd like, good. I'd like to add something right here too. And there's no need to confront the person you're questioning about. God's gonna handle it all. Right. Like, as long as you're praying against this behind the scenes and fighting them. And one thing was really, really cool, especially with this prayer, was how angry these people were getting at us without ever talking to them. They would come, they would be so angry.
It stirred up the demons because it was effective.
Exactly.
And it confirmed that we weren't crazy.
Yeah. Yep.
Because all of us kept thinking, we would get these thoughts like, this isn't really happening. This can't be. You're just crazy.
And that's the demons gaslighting y'all. Is what that is.
Yeah. So then I would ask, Connor said, I keep getting these thoughts. And it's like, and he would say, I'm getting them too, you know? So then we would forbid the thoughts and command them to go and it would stop. Then we started having the same types of pains the same nights. We would wake up with Charlie horses in our foot that we couldn't walk. It would wake us up in the middle of the night, and then I would rebuke it, command it to leave, and it would stop. And I'd call Colin the next morning. I said, did you have this? And he would say, yeah.
And then you'd have the throbbing temple. Like, your temple would just start vibrating and throbbing out of the middle of nowhere.
I had that the other night. I had that a couple of nights ago. Never had it before.
You can't explain. It's not just a normal thing. It just starts vibrating and shaking, and you command it to stop, and it immediately stops because it's irritating.
Yeah.
It was just the weirdness of how all of that flowed. Just the same, everything, the same attacks.
Yeah.
And this type of because we were fighting a person who deliberately was lying, and let's just face it, if you look at the fruits of the person's life, they're not Christian. They just said that they were. But that's what a wolf in sheep clothing is. It pretends. It knows exactly what to say. Even Satan twisted the word to get Adam and Eve to sin. So they know how to do that. They can know just enough of the word to make you think that they're okay. But if you actually sat there and listened to the teachings the person would say, there was so much confusion in there.
Yeah.
There was a lot of false doctrines that he would teach, and we were just amazed by that.
I bet.
But it was learning how to pray against, you know, the way God would tell us to pray. But then as it knew we knew what it was, the attacks got worse.
Yes.
And Colin, did you want to talk about?
I want to mention something real quick. I believe the reason your church was chosen to be infiltrated is because your pastor teaches the uncompromised word of God, and that is so rare that it's only the truth that sets us free. It's so rare that a pastor is not afraid to talk about sin is still wrong. It's as wrong as it was 2,000 years ago. It's still wrong. And he teaches the true word of God. So, of course, Satan put a target on it. I just wanted to mention that.
Yes.
Lukewarm churches don't really have anything to fear.
And this person pretended to be a deliverance minister, which was the funniest thing in the world. Yeah. And it was at the point when we actually went into a session with this person that we realized they have no idea what they're doing.
Wow.
And that, I think that was when the scales came off of our eyes.
Right. Yeah. He flat out told me I can never do spiritual warfare, that I'm way too young, and that I have no chance to learn this until I get way older.
That's so funny.
And those things didn't start. The attacks on Colin personally didn't start happening until one day, Glenda, you and I were talking. I was telling you about Colin and how impressed I was with his character, especially his understanding at such a young age. Because he's only 21, right, Colin?
Yes, 21.
Okay. And you told me that God said he had a high calling for this. And it's like, I already knew that. And so it was confirmation. Wow. And when I mentioned this to that person that I at this time thought was a Christian and a deliverance minister, that's when the attack started turning on Colin. Because they don't want somebody that's anointed spiritual warfare.
No, no. They want everybody to think they're anointed.
Yep. Yes. Yes.
Somebody like that's never going to be willing to go through what you have to go through to get a true anointing.
Yeah.
So while we were fighting these battles, God brought the importance of not fighting alone, because I would get hit in my body. My children would get attacked. Sometimes we'd get attacked. I would get attacked through the unsaved people in my family.
Yeah.
Because he could use them like that. And we would become so tired that we just wanted to give up.
Yes.
I can't tell you how many times I would think, I just need to leave the church because nobody believes me.
I remember that.
I feel like I'm losing my mind.
I remember you and I talking about that, and I was so surprised. But I know the weariness of the battlefield, so I could relate.
Yeah. So what happened with you, Colin, and your wife? Which, by the way, Colin and his new wife haven't been married very. How long have you been married?
6 months this month.
6 months.
Wow.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you. But one weird thing that had happened, we were at church, and like still learning about this. This would be about, I don't know, 6 months into the battle. So not far from now, we got our victory. But the attacks had really, really got amped up. And it was really, really in an intense time, really, really tired and fatigued. And
battle does wear you out.
And I remember we were at church, and one thing I want to talk before we get into is about an experience we had. We had not long had this experience where I asked God for these divine encounters with him, that he walks, like he'll walk in and just show himself to you to build up your strength, to be able to keep on fighting. Ms. Nicole, if you want to talk about this one, because you experienced this too.
Yeah, this was a Wednesday night. And on Wednesday nights, we don't have a lot of people that come on Wednesday nights. Yeah. So it was a handful of people there, and we were doing worship. Again, I lead worship on the piano and singing. And then at that night, we had a drummer, and Colin was playing the bass. And all of a sudden, and now I've experienced God's presence many times, but never like this. All of a sudden, it was like heaven opened up, and I felt him walk into the room. And it was so strong that I almost didn't want to breathe.
Yes.
And I remember looking at Colin, and I saw the recognition on his face and knew he felt that too. And so explain, Colin, what he told you.
And all of a sudden, God says, he says, I just walked in the room with y'all. And it was just like, just the presence was just so, so amazing. Like she was saying, it's like, you didn't want to play. You didn't want to move. The last thing on my mind was playing an instrument at the time.
I bet.
Like, it was just phenomenal feeling.
So I looked at him, and I saw the recognition, and I knew that he felt what I felt. And so then I wasn't sure what to do, and I paused for a few minutes, and I said, does anybody else feel that? It's like, it feels like God just walked into the room. Well, God had just told Colin that. And so we finished the service. And I had to leave early on Wednesdays because my husband wants me home, and I don't get to stay for the whole service. And so that afternoon on the way home, he called me, and he told me that God had just told him that was what happened. And we realized it was God confirming that he was happy with what we were doing, that we were going to see the end of this, to not give up. And that, and specifically, that person was not there that day.
There, yes.
So we were noticing the difference when they weren't there, how God was able to move and do things, that those things that were in him were hindering because of what he was. Yeah. Because he wasn't just, like I said, not a Christian. There was actual witchcraft being sent to us. There was...
Yeah.
Heavy occult involvement.
Very heavy. The worst that we've seen.
Yeah. And then, okay, back to now. I think this was like the next week, or this was on Sunday night. And we do a prayer service before Sunday night worship. And I remember my wife, I was like, watching her throughout the day. She was like depleting. Like she was getting paler, but I just assumed she said she was getting sick. So I'm like, okay, you know, it was the time of the year, flu and everything. I'm like, okay, so maybe she is just getting sick, you know. And all of a sudden, she was laying down in the back, and she couldn't move, okay. And then I'm going to tell you exactly what God told me. God speaks to me very abruptly. because that's how I have to be spoken to, because I'm very hard-headed. And God told me, he says, "Your dummy, she's dying. She's really, really hurt."
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, "Okay, God." So I went and I just put my hands on her head, and God spoke to me what to say. Mm-hmm. And at the time, we were fighting a Diana spirit. Then God had showed us that what else was there. And
oh, yeah, I remember that.
And I remember God saying, I cursed Diana. I told her she had no right to attack my wife. She has no right to attack a child of God. And I bound her up and removed her, and I sent her to the abyss since she had no right to attack. And she actually gave my wife a vision of what had happened, which was amazing to me, which taught us a lot, too, about our – I'll let Nicole explain it, too, about our spiritual person. But that all of a sudden – that I appeared and I grabbed her and I hugged her, and then Jesus she was lying on the ground, and I went over her and I put my hands over her, and then Jesus came around and hugged us, and wow. Then she just disappeared.
Wow.
Yeah, that was an intense thing. That was a learning thing.
Wow.
But didn't she have a vision at the same time you were having yours?
Yes, yeah, so that was her vision. She explained that to me. I didn't have that one. I just felt the breaking of it. And she immediately got up like she wasn't sick at all. I mean, 100% recovery instantly.
Wow.
Like, so, it was amazing. Yeah.
So I remember once we realized what he really was, we kept saying, this can't be happening. This just doesn't happen. This cannot be happening.
Because everything,
you know,
so
I don't understand
weird.
This.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
it got
and so
weird.
We realized they would bring gifts to people.
Oh, I forgot.
And we were getting sick. The food we were eating, we were getting sick because they prepared the food.
So like
and
church,
so it got to the point
in potlucks and stuff like that. That's scary. Isn't
yeah,
it?
So we had to start breaking witchcraft off of everything. We had to physically get rid of anything that was given to us from this person because it was a connection. They knew what they were doing. And that's why the battle was so hard, because it wasn't just a Christian who was demonically influenced. It was somebody who knew what they were doing and was pretending.
They were doing it intentionally. There's a difference.
Yeah.
And for anybody who doesn't know, Diana is the goddess over witchcraft.
Yes.
For any new Christians or people who are not aware of that.
Yes. So we started praying the person out of the church. We would just command them out, and because God told us to start doing that, you know. So we prayed for the revelation of what was going on. We got that, and then we started praying against all the demonic spirits, binding them up, and then we started commanding the person out of the church. You know, we would pray, okay, God, if this person is not going to get saved, if this person is going to rip the church up, make them leave. And that was how we had to start warring. And every day for months we did this while we were getting attacked right back, because it was
another thing too. I'd like Miss Nicole to explain about was because this it affected both of us. It happened to a mutual person, and because he was a deliverance minister, okay, so he would pray for people, and it was weird. He'd also help attach things to them, and all of a sudden things would begin to follow him. And one thing about, again, with Diana, Miss Nicole remembered this, is we did deliverance on this person, and about their blood had spelled out her name.
Yeah, that was really strange. So we just learned about Diana, and I would research these, we'd research the spirit after God would tell us the name. And we were doing deliverance on someone else that had been in contact with this person, that this person would kind of counsel or would befriend. And so we realized that they were actually, when they would lay hands on people, they were actually imparting demons into other people for specific reasons. They were also sending chaos into my marriage. I thought that they were praying for my husband to get saved. But what was actually happening was other demons were coming in and ripping it up, because the arguing that we were at was crazy. But that's smart, because if there's chaos in your home, your warfare and your prayer won't be as effective against them. So he knew what he was doing.
Strife is the doorway to every evil work, and the demons know scripture.
Oh, yes. And so God had given me a dream. In the dream, I was walking with this person on a winding path, and I was holding a snake, only I didn't realize I was holding a snake at that point. And the snake was orange and white. But I was talking to this person, and I don't know what we were saying, but I heard them say marriage. Then all of a sudden I was in my home, and I looked down and I saw I was holding a snake. Now, I really don't like snakes, so that would never happen, me holding a snake. So when I realized that, I threw it down, and immediately it tried to come right back to me. And then I woke up, and I realized at that point he had sent stuff onto my husband that wasn't saved, so he was allowed to do that. But that was causing the strife in the home to attack. So I was more focused on what I was dealing with there instead of looking like a magician would. You know, as an illusion, look here so you don't see what I'm really doing.
Yeah.
That's what I was dealing with.
And Satan always attacks through the people around you that are closest to you who have the least amount of Jesus. Always.
Yes.
That's the easiest door for him to get through.
So this person had prayed over someone else and had attached this spirit that we just learned about, Diana. And I think he was, wasn't he actually at your house, Colin,
yes,
when this happened?
Yes, he was at
So you describe what happened, because you witnessed it.
I noticed something was off about him, and I was asking him, trying to help him. I can't remember exactly what certain situations were, but he was just off. And you could just see it in his eyes, and it just wasn't himself. And he went into the bathroom to take a shower. Well, when he came out, he says, I got to show you something. Which really, really freaked me out. He had cut himself with a razor, which he used to have problems with. I hadn't done it in a very, very long time. And he had sliced himself with a razor. But it was weird, the blood from the cuts, not the cuts, the blood that came out spelled Diana.
That's the wild. That's something you would see in a movie.
And he wasn't told about this spirit. So
there's no way he could have faked it.
Because he came out and said, who is Diana?
Yeah.
To Colin.
Freaked him out. He says, who is Diana? And showed me his arm, and it spelled Diana, and freaked me out, because I just learned about her too. I mean, I just fought her for trying to kill my wife. So I was like, okay.
Wow.
And I called Nicole.
I bet. That is the wildest thing ever. Because you see stuff like that in movies, but you don't think it really ever happens.
No.
You know?
I don't know. I would never thought that was possible.
Me either.
We also learned about, God told Colin that we were dealing with, Strahera?
Strahera.
Strahera.
Yes, that was a weird learning experience. God had told me to look up, about the mafia and witchcraft tied together.
Oh, yeah.
And, when I looked that up, Strahera popped up. And when I learned about it, it's an old form of Italian witchcraft I think it's from the 1800s and 1900s, way and really, really old. It's called the ancient religion.
And who also worshiped Diana, by the
way. Diana, yeah.
The way.
They worshiped Diana, and specifically one of their main goddesses. And that was really, really interesting, because where would you have got something like that? And when we started fighting that specifically, a lot of things began to manifest. So I remember his rings. Certain rings he wore. God had showed us the rings. And
so we'd strip the power off of the rings. We'd strip the power off Strigar. You know, all these things we had to start doing piece by piece as he would teach us.
Wow.
And again, I remember thinking, okay, so this is going to be it. And then it wouldn't.
It wasn't it.
Yeah.
Kept hoping it would come to an end.
Yes, definitely.
As we got tighter and tighter, like, I know there would be times where Colin would do the praying because I just couldn't anymore. And then I would do it for him because we just were so tired.
I remember times when you took physical attacks where you were down. You were completely down.
Yeah.
Because, and she would tell me, and I would pray for her. but I know that you were covering her during that time on that warfare front.
Yeah, it was amazing to see, though, God rise up specifically, because he's going to rise up someone specific to help you through this battle if you are going through this. Ask him to raise him, because it's likely the person you least expect. Because I would have never expected to go through this, period. But also with Miss Nicole, coming from the relationship we had in the beginning, to know that we'd have to do this level of warfare was insane to think. Just make sure you ask God to rise up that person.
Yeah, with God leading the battle, you knew there was no chance of defeat.
Exactly. We knew our steps were ordered by the Lord and the victory was ours. It was just to have the patience. The patience was key, was to wait for what God was going to teach us and show us and bring us the victory through.
And, you know, God says to be wise as serpents but harmless as doves. Yes. So that is what we tried to do. We did not expose it. We waited. We did not tell people in the church. We, you know, like I said, a handful of people praying against certain spirits that didn't know. A few people knew, not many. We did not talk about it.
Yeah.
Even though that person was going around saying things that none of that was true. And even though they have left the church, they are still slandering us, even though we did not do anything, because they know that's all they have.
It is all they have. And they, you know, everything that they do against you is going to come back on them, because God's going to defend you.
Definitely.
And there was a lot of damage that was done. Lots of people left the church. But that was that he would cause the strife and lying, and then they would leave because of the strife, thinking that was going through the whole church when he was the one that was causing it. But he, you know, so that was his intent, was to rip the church up from the inside out. Because a revival had been promised by God to happen in our church, that will happen. And in the discussions that you, Glenda, you and I had, we realized it was sent there. It's going to be a deliverance revival. And he was sent to be a deliverance minister, quote unquote, to stop what they knew God was going to do in our church, which will happen, because they did not win.
Satan assigned him to take down that church. Or take down the leadership of the church, so that couldn't happen.
So I do want to encourage the listeners at this point, if you're dealing with somebody in your church that you know isn't right, that causes disruptions on purpose, that quenches the spirit of God, don't be so quick to just say it's the church's fault, or we pray. Because if we had just given up, the church would have folded. And then what God wanted to happen wouldn't have happened. So it's important to not give up, but to fight.
Yes.
So one of the important things toward the end, when we finally, I knew it was kind of getting close. I could just feel it inside, because it just could feel it. And the person was becoming more and more frustrated, and the attacks were becoming harder. So we felt like it was getting toward the end. God had told me not to directly talk to this person. That was what they kept. He kept telling me, do not directly. And I kept wanting to just go and say, I know what you are. I know what you're doing.
Yeah.
And then God would say, no, don't. And so when I went to approach the pastor about it, God had told Colin to break a mind control spell off of his mind. And so we did that. And it was like, once I went talk to him, he's like complete understanding at that point. And so God had told him, he's a soul, let me handle it. He's a soul, let me handle. So we were just waiting for God to do. And God opened the doors to where once there was going to be a confrontation at that point. And he went into the office and there was a confrontation. And I still don't even know what all was said, because that's between the pastor. Doesn't, you know, he keeps that private, because he is a man of God and he doesn't slander people. Or even though he at this moment is slandering the pastor, he would never do that, because he is a man of integrity.
Yes, he is.
So right immediately after it was done and the person resigned, we had a revival service. And in that service, God, the woman was, the minister wanted to pray over me. So another little tidbit of protection. Regardless of who is going to pray over you, again, we test the spirit. So I always put a wall of fire up around me. I forbid any false words being spoken over me.
That's good.
From no matter who it is, because you don't know. Yeah. And again, it doesn't hurt. If God's going to talk, that's not going to matter.
That's right.
You're just stopping the demons. And so I do that, and the woman's praying on me, and she hugged me. And when she hugged me, I felt something break off, but I didn't say anything. So Colin calls me that afternoon, and he says, "Miss Nicole, did you feel something break off of you?" I said, "Yeah, when the minister hugged me, I felt something break." And so he says, "Well, I saw it."
Yes.
And so you go ahead and just tell him what you saw.
I saw a giant black chain that had wrapped around her.
Wow.
And it had this really ancient padlock on it, something you would see from like old dungeons and stuff like that. And it had a symbol on it.
Okay, so now let me stop real quick. So at this point, we've been working for months together. And what all of a sudden started happening is God would give Colin something and he would start describing it. So that was all he told me about what he saw. While he's telling me, I have a full color vision of what it is he saw.
Wow.
Yes.
So I said, "Okay, wait, Colin." I said, "Was the padlock about the size of my hand?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Did it was like big, big, big chains, like a big pirate-looking chain wrapped?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Did it have a was the symbol an ivory circle with a symbol on it?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Okay." So I hung up the phone and I go on the internet and I look up demonic symbols and I found this big web page of sigils, which I had never heard of. And so I go down the list and I find the sigil that was on that padlock that I just saw.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it was a demon called Stiggle, and it brings death. So that is what he had put on me. So I send Colin the link. I said, "Find that link, find that symbol in that web page." And he found it.
Yeah.
So
was that after the time when you and I had, we had a phone conversation one day and you told me that you just felt like life was draining out of you?
Yeah, that was way before this. I found out what this was.
Okay.
But yeah. I'd look in my eyes and it's like, my eyes don't look right. I just feel, I look like I'm dying. I just can't explain. They don't look right. You know,
I know what you mean. All the sparkle goes out. Yep.
They just look gray.
Yep.
So we learned about sigils. Didn't know what that was. And apparently it wasn't long after that. Now we started breaking all the sigils.
And sigils can only be put on by certain people.
Yes, they can only be put on by people that are involved in witchcraft.
Yes.
Witches or warlocks. So now in our prayers, we break sigils off of everything. We also, when we were, you and I were talking about the sigil and I was telling you about the chain and how that had broke. And then of course after the fact, we learned that if there's a sigil attached to you, it's kind of like, a spiritual tattoo. The demon will not leave if the sigil's still there.
Yes.
God also had told you, Glenda, about the sigils, right? In your prayer.
When I started canceling them after you told me everything you'd learned, I added it to my prayers to cancel sigils every day. Sigils, symbols, or demonic symbols or something like that I have in my daily prayer. And then I was praying this like a week or so ago, and as I was praying it, he said, "And on everything you own." And I was like, "Hello." And so I started praying that, and then Nicole found out that they can be put on anything, not just on a person. Yeah. They can be put on your vehicle. They can be put on your house. They can be, you know. So that's important.
Little gifts they give you, they can attach this stuff to it, and then it'll bring it to you because you accept it.
Yes.
Which means you have opened up a door right there because you are in agreement with whatever they gave you.
And you opened up a soul tunnel because now you have a relationship with that person. You accepted a gift from them.
Yes. Definitely.
It was after that we learned about the sigils that we, Colin's wife had pulled out a little pin from her purse.
Yeah.
And what did God tell you about the pin?
That he told me to get rid of it. That it's they have stuff attached to it. And I was like, "What?" He says, "Yes." He says, "They got a thing," because it was a gift that was given a church to out. Yeah. It was given out by that person.
This person was very busy cursing everything. Every bit of the food they took to the church, all the gifts they took to the people at the church.
Yes.
And it goes on.
It was weird when God told me to call Nicole and tell her about this. So when I called her, I'm like, hey, it says, don't you have one like this? And then she says, no, but I said, remember, I says, no, he gave you a special one. And then I'll let her explain that.
Yeah, so I hadn't really recalled it because I never did wear it. And when we were discussing it, Colin said that he was very adamant about everybody receiving one. And if you were walking out of the church that day and you didn't have it, he gave you another one, which is kind of odd. So I'm like, okay, that seems vaguely familiar. I said, let me look at my desk drawer because, you know, that's probably where I threw things if I'm not going to wear it. And I opened up the drawer, and sure enough, I found it. It was a cross with an American flag imprinted on it. And when I picked the cross, because it was still on the paper, I had never even taken it off the little card. When I grabbed it, I became violently nauseated. And I was on the phone with Colin, and I was like, Colin, you need to rebuke this. I can't. This is bad. I was gagging. And I crawled to the door, threw it out of the door, and then I was okay. So I broke all the stuff off of it, and then I drove around and threw it in a field because I didn't have anything to burn it with.
Wow.
And so then we made I called the other people that knew what was going on in the church and said, you know, if this is in the church, you need to, if we still have any of them, destroy them. So everybody that was aware destroyed the stuff. Yeah. And then we, when you and I, when I was telling you about the sigils, Glenda, you said, he put one on top of the church. I see a big demon sitting on top of the church.
Oh, yeah.
And as you told me that, I saw the demon. And so to me, it looked like the demon from that old cartoon Fantasia. So when I looked up the demon from Fantasia, I found the name. And Colin, you want to tell the rest of that story about the name?
And then when Ms. Nicole sent me the picture of the thing, and she sent me the name that was with it. And God had told me to change the spelling of the name. So, and I inputted it into my phone, and out popped cherubim. And what it was just they hid. And what God had shown me, they'll change their name when they put them into cartoons and stuff to make people accept them, where they're not scared of them.
Oh.
And it was, that is the same demon. And, but that was just getting the direct name. So it was just confirmation for us that that was him.
Yeah, the spelling is Chernabog, right? Chernabog, yes. I think.
Chernabog.
That's how you say it. Yeah. So we broke it, and it had a sigil when we looked it up. Yeah. So we broke the sigil off, and we commanded it off at the church because it was just chained up at the top of the church.
Wow.
I don't know what it was doing. I don't remember what it...
He brought famine.
Lapse
in money.
Oh.
He brought famine, lapse of money, I was going to say destruction. He brought death. I believe he brought death also.
Wow.
Yeah.
And we've had, over the last couple of years, lots of people in the church die, lots of people sick, lots of people having money problems.
And how long has this person been in that church before they
left? About 3 years.
3 years.
Yeah.
Three or four,
So it started probably soon after, before you knew anything was going on, it could stop it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes. I mean, that, by that time, the church was going through some problems, too, and we were praying to see what was the situation, and that's when we had got that answer. And I want to remind you, too, for new believers, pray for specific things, very specific things.
Yeah.
When you want to answer in something specific, fast about it.
Yeah.
Stay strong and stay true about praying about that thing. Be persistent on it. And don't beg. Don't beg for an answer.
No.
You know, it's not about begging. It's praying and waiting. And just be patient because God's going to give you the answer when you need it.
Yes.
Because if you get it too early, we're too quick to jump and not patience enough. And we're going to act before we're supposed to.
Amen.
Which leads us into... The perfect plan won't happen. It won't go perfectly like it should, and you might damage somebody else that, or you'll do destruction to yourself that God wants to protect you from.
True. You know, we go to God with such a big long list of things that we need from Him, don't we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Y'all remember any other stories that you want to share? Anything else that you learned? So
I know that since we've defeated this enemy, the atmosphere in the church has been unreal. Yes. It's so peaceful. There's no more fighting with worship. The presence of God is there again. And so don't discount. They can do some really bad things.
Yes, that's true.
Oh, so. Yeah.
And so to recap, the order of battle plan for this specific thing was, number one, we had to discern there was something wrong. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Once we realized in confirmation from God something was wrong, we asked God to reveal where it was coming from. Once we found out who it was, we had to ask for the answers on how to fight it, which is what we did. And then we waited on God to remove the problem, fought. Because at any time we could have immediately went and said, you know, you are doing this. We know what you are. But we didn't. We waited on God to do it, vigilantly praying.
Yes.
And God, he did it. He orchestrated the way the person exited in a way that it was going to happen perfectly.
Mm-hmm. But
know that when you fight this, and even though God's helping you, that the devil uses real bullets and you will get hit.
That's a good way to put that. He does use real bullets.
So you ask God for the strength to get through it, and you get up and you keep going.
Yeah. You keep on fighting. You don't give up. And when you're going to relax, that's when you're going to get hit the hardest, especially if you don't have somebody covering you and praying for you while you relax.
Yeah.
It'll pretty much bring you down to where you think you can't move anymore. And because one time me and Miss Nicole had stopped fighting at the same time before we learned about having to take breaks and sessions, we had both quit and we didn't tell each other.
Oh,
and
no.
And things had got really heated, not like in a bad way, but things really took over and manifested.
Oh, wow.
And we both realized, hey, we both stopped. That's how we learned about taking the sessions and like not at the same time, because they have free reign.
Yeah.
Especially because once you learn something about that, once you learn something for God, you're now accountable for it.
That's
so
right.
When you lack in your accountability, now it's your fault this is happening. So
in other words, when he tells you, we had to cancel witchcraft daily off of ourselves. Yes. Daily, sometimes more than daily. I mean, sometimes multiple.
At one time, y'all were doing it multiple times a day. I remember.
Yeah, it was.
We were doing any time it came to our memory. We were, breaking off any kind of curses, any kind of thing that was sin.
It's like when you're out on an actual battlefield and there are guns pointed at you. You cannot let your guard down.
Not at all. You constantly stay vigilant.
And ask God for help, but don't give up. Because if you don't give up, you will win.
Yeah.
The only way we don't, I mean, God says we win at the end. The only way we don't win is if we stop fighting.
But this, and yeah, all this stuff sounds crazy and everything, because we thought we were crazy for a while too. But I mean, at the end of the day, as long as you're serving, God is mightier than anything you can possibly face.
Yes,
so you don't have to worry. You don't have to fear. Don't be scared, because God doesn't give us a spirit of fear, but a peace and a sound mind.
Amen.
So just walk through it and just keep your head up high, knowing that you're a warrior for Christ and that you're going to get the victory in the end. And don't stoop down to their level. Stay above.
Amen.
And don't be afraid to take hits.
Yes.
It's part of fighting. I mean, Jesus still bears the scars in his hands for what he had to do for us. So it's not too much for him to ask of us to take hits for the kingdom of God. It is part of being a Christian.
Definitely.
But he will help you as long as you get up and fight.
Yep. And at the end of the day, no matter what they do to you, they cannot hurt your salvation, and they cannot hurt your relationship with God. That will never change. If anything, you'll grow in your relationship stupendously. That's what I did. I have walked so much closer with God now, going through this and learning this, because you develop such a reliance on Him, because there's really no books on this. There's really nothing extraordinary wrote about this yet. I can't wait till Miss Nicole book. So you really have such a reliance on God for all about the sigils and all that stuff.
I want to thank both of you for being on the podcast, on this series of podcasts. This is really helpful information for all the people. Everybody's going to, if you're a true believer, is going to encounter warfare at some point. And the question is, are you going to be prepared when it shows up? So thank you for taking your time and sharing your knowledge with this. I want all of y'all to remember, Nicole's writing a book, and it's going to have this and many other stories in it, and how to defeat different types of entities in detail. So be watching for that. Keep an eye on her blog, http://wingsofwarfare.blogspot.com. She will post more when she has more time. Since she's been involved in this battle, she hasn't had a lot of time to post. So hopefully she'll be giving us new stuff on the blog soon. But thank you all for sharing with everyone. And thank all of you for listening. I hope you have a great week. Thank you so much for tuning in today to Just Praise Him Radio. You can contact me by mail at my new address, JPH Inc., Glenda Lomax, P.O. Box 60, Glencoe, Arkansas 72539, or by email at jphtoday@gmail.com. JPH is not affiliated with any nonprofit organization, church, or denomination. Have you ever gone through a time in your life where suddenly it just felt like your whole life was falling apart? I call these experiences the wilderness experiences. Wilderness experiences are a time of great uncertainty and change. There are times when our faith is tried and refined. After many experiences, the Lord spoke to me to write The Wilderness Companion, which is a virtual roadmap through the desert times of your life. Find out why you've been led to the wilderness. Find out what the biggest hindrance is to receiving provision in the wilderness. Find out what the seven temptations of the wilderness are. Drastically cut the time you spend in the wilderness by learning how to partner with the Lord instead of working against Him. Every Christian needs to read The Wilderness Companion. It's by Glenda Lomax, and it's available on Amazon.com or wingsofprophecy.com. Amazon.com, The Wilderness Companion by Glenda Lomax. Do you know someone who is going through a wilderness season right now? Have you heard about the Wilderness Companion Study Guide? It's a workbook with 41 lessons, including new stories from the wilderness and questions to help you work through your own wilderness experience. Read each lesson, then complete the questions to apply the lesson to your own wilderness experience. Get your copy of the Wilderness Companion Study Guide today and get one for a friend. Available now on Amazon.com. The Wilderness Companion Study Guide by Glenda Lomax. Available on Amazon.com. Do you know someone suffering from domestic violence or another form of abuse like verbal abuse? Did you know abuse has deep spiritual roots that cause abuse to be attracted to a person throughout their lifetime? Now, the Escaping Abuse Study Guide helps you discover and remove those spiritual roots so you won't be an abuse magnet. Get the Escaping Abuse Study Guide or get one for a friend. Available now on Amazon.com. Escaping Abuse Study Guide by Glenda Lomax. Available now on Amazon.com. Sidewalk Flowers Volume 1 is a collection of 58 short inspirational readings that will uplift, comfort, and encourage readers from every walk of life. Sidewalk Flowers includes inspirational tales and topics taken from the lives of everyday people who exhibited extraordinary wisdom, kindness, and courage while traveling the sidewalks of life. Get your copy of Sidewalk Flowers Volume 1 today, available in print and new audiobook. Sidewalk Flowers Volume 1 by Glenda Lomax, available on Amazon.com in print or new audiobook.
There is no one on earth who has not been wronged at some time in their life. Everyone has a story to tell. Everyone has been hurt by someone. The pain you have suffered does not make you special. It is what you do with that pain that sets you apart. Life can make you bitter or it can make you better. You choose. The only difference between the two is the I.